Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
Let's pray together. Father God, thank you so much that we've declared your goodness is running after us. And today we're going to receive of the good word, the perfect seed. And so we prepare our hearts to receive from you, that you can deposit that in us, Lord God. And we get ready. We get ready to receive the fruit that comes from it. Father, we get our ears trained. We get our eyes and focus ready to do that, Lord God. We will not get distracted because we want to hear from you. You use men and women. So use me today, Father God, to share your truth this very day. And Father, we pray for all the churches that are in the Inland Empire and around the world. Father, we pray for them also, that you bless them as you have blessed us so richly. We're so grateful for the opportunities you give us here in the Inland Empire to continue to advance your truth, because we're advancing one kingdom alone, and that is yours. And so we declare that tonight. In Jesus' name, we all say, amen. Amen. Would you go to John chapter 18? John chapter 18. Go there, John chapter 18. And, you know, many people, we all have plans. We all make plans since we were kids or young adults. We are getting ready for something, or we dreamed of something and we get our lives ready. And so we plan these things. And many times when you were young, you thought of careers or you made a path in your life. And the reality is, for many of us, our lives a lot of times doesn't line up the way we planned for. But when we come to Christ, I believe that, because from the beginning, the Word of God says that he has a plan for us. And that is one of the greatest questions that people have. Pastor, what is the will of God for my life? How do I get on the plan of God for my life? And so tonight we want to see how Jesus gets in a vein to develop and to come, bring to fruition God's plan for his life. And that's really what we want to talk about. What is God's plan for my life? How do I get that? How do I connect with the plan of God and in the process that God is bringing for me? Because otherwise, if I don't follow that, if I don't connect with that, then you see people that feel kind of floating around. But here's something we do. A lot of times we come to God and we ask him for protection. Oh, Pastor, pray for me that God will protect me, or that God would protect my business or provision. And so we're trusting God for protection, but a lot of times we do not trust for God's direction. And if I could say it this way, if you can trust God for his protection, you should be able to trust God for his direction. And there's something in our lives that is going to, he's saying, I'm going to protect you, and I'm also going to lead you in the way you should go. And that's really how we enter in God's plan, and how we process and how we grow together in doing the things of God in our lives. And the Word of God says in different ways, but there's one expression that is so amazing about doing and being steadfast in the will of God. And that expression is found in Isaiah 50, verse 7. And in Isaiah 50, verse 7, it's a reference that we later, that Jesus would later use, or we use of Jesus later in the book of Luke. And it says this in Isaiah 50, verse 7, if I can put it up, says, because of the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. I love that. The sovereign Lord, the good God, he's helping me. Therefore, I'm not going to be embarrassed in the process of pursuing his plans. Now watch this. I have set my face like a stone. I've been told that many times, so I try to smile. My wife tells me all the time, smile, you look like you've done something. I'm like, no, it's just, I have a stone face. But that expression is so interesting, because that expression talks about firmness, talks about direction, talks about, hey, when you're serious about something, that look that your parent gave you across the living room when you were a knucklehead and you were a kid, and you're like, oh, that looks serious, and they're walking over, that face. And so you're so dead set on something. It says, I have set my face like a stone, determined to do, watch this, determined to do his what? Oh, so I am set like a stone. My face is intense. I am absolutely focused on doing his will. And I know that I will not be put to shame. Can anybody say amen tonight? And I think a lot of times that is the struggle in doing God's plan, is that if I pursue this plan that God has and not the one that I'm thinking, I'm going to be embarrassed. My friends are going to make fun of me. There's something's going to happen that's going to, it's not going to work out the way I think. And therefore, I don't set my face with purpose to pursue the plan of God for my life. But Jesus is so intentional. Jesus is so intentional that it says in the book of Luke that he set his face, one translation says like a flint, another translation says like a stone, that he set so firmly in heading to Jerusalem. So this next week and a half, that's what we're focusing on, Jesus moving his way towards Jerusalem to face his death. And that was the plan of God for his life from the inception. Think about that. Yet he's saying, I'm so serious about doing God's will, I'm heading to a difficult place. And there's this comfort in that. We got to understand that there's strength in that. I just want to give you an image. I had an amazing privilege. I had this when I was in 1999. I was 23 years old. And so I got the privilege to visit Machu Picchu back then. And this time around, after my father-in-law passed away, my wife's family, uncles and cousins, everybody gave us all the family an offering so that we could bring the remains of my father-in-law to the beautiful country he loved. He was a missionary. He was an American missionary in Peru for many years where my wife was born. And so we took his remains there. We did a service with the pastors and churches he planted. It was absolutely beautiful. And so we say, hey, we have a few more days. Can we go visit the ruins again and bring our kids? None of our kids had ever been to Peru. So my brother-in-law is there, my sister-in-law, obviously my wife. We're missing my mother-in-law and my brother-in-law's wife. So they weren't able to attend with us. But I don't want you to kind of see the family, but I want you to see these stones. These stones are enormous. Just the ratio of those stones. And this is part of the Inca ruin, one of the famous ones called Sacsayhuaman. The tour guide was trying to be funny, and he said, if you don't know how to pronounce this, you can say sexy woman. I was like, nah, dude, stop that. And so Sacsayhuaman. And so these are the walls of the ruins. And these rocks were absolutely enormous. They're absolutely enormous. Some of them, I think the guy said either 70 ton or 700 ton. It was some number like that. And Incas estimated, or the archaeologists estimated, that it took about 45 to 50 years to roll in from where they were to the ruins themselves. So imagine, it was like little inches every day, and they were there, hundreds of years. So they were able to do that. But I wanted to show you this stone because this stone talks about firmness, largesse. I mean, that stone is not going anywhere. That stone is set and nobody can move it. As a matter of fact, when the Spanish conquistadors were trying to remove it, they gave up. That's why the ruins are there. They couldn't move any of them. So they just left them because they were so set. And when I think about that verse that Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem, Jesus is saying, I am immovable in acquiring or doing the plan of God for my life. I'm heading in that direction. And I want to set that picture in your mind because when we're saying, God, I want your plan for my life, we have to tell ourselves, God, I am setting my face like a stone to complete the work of God in my life and what you've done for me. And I want to invite you tonight to walk with Jesus as we do it together from John 18 on how do we pursue this? How do I pursue doing the plan of God for my life in every area? And so in John 18, as we're going to read today, what we're going to look at is Jesus is being now, he's betrayed by Judas. Judas brings the guards, the temple guards, to arrest him. And this is where we find this scene right now. It's a long chapter, but I'm going to read just starting in verse 4 through verse 11. And let's read it together. Jesus, therefore, let me find it in my Bible. I don't have it in my notes. If you have your Bible, go over there. John 18, starting in verse 4. And we'll read through verse 11. It says, Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, whom are you seeking? What an amazing expression. Jesus knowing. So Jesus knew God's plan, and he knew everything that was going to come to him, yet he said, what are you looking for? He faced a situation. What an invitation for all of us. Verse 5, they answer him, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus, well, that's a hard word for a Hispanic, Nazareth. There you go, I said it right. Jesus said to them, I am he. And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Verse 6, now, when he said to them, I am he drew back, or they drew back and fell to the ground. We'll look at that with more details in a little bit. Verse 7, then he asked them again, whom are you seeking? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And then Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way. Verse 9, that the same might be fulfilled. Once again, talking about promises. Which he spoke, of those who you gave me, I have lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it back and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. Then the servant's name was Malchus. Verse 11, so Jesus said to Peter, put your sword into the sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my father has given me? So these verses are so intense. I mean, this is we're entering to the climax of the whole process of Jesus going to the cross. And so we find ourselves in this whole arena of things are happening. And there's a few things I want you to see tonight that Jesus brings to us. And the first thing I see that he brings to us is that Jesus responds to God's authority. And the same should be for us. For you and I, we have to respond to God's authority when we're going to walk into the plan of God. Jesus understood this was the plan of God for my life. Therefore, I'm going to submit myself into the plan of God to be done for my life. And I find that a lot of people in Christianity, they're Christians, but they live their life as if God is not their authority. And it's a big difference to say, I am a Christian. It's a complete different to say, Jesus is the authority of my life. Two different things. Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to go to heaven or you're not saved. I'm not talking about the condition of salvation. But I am questioning how much have you given God all of your heart and all of your life. Because in the end, he has to be the authority of our lives. And that is big, that we have to recognize God's authority in the process of what is happening to us. And that expression, I am, is such a powerful expression. And we're going to see that expression in a way that is very understood for every person in the Jewish culture. Let's read it, so just to see what it says. John 18:5 says this, "Then he answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. So he said to them, I am he. And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them." So John is giving us an idea of what is going on right now. Now watch this, verse 7. "And when he said to them, I am he, they drew back and fell to the ground." My friends, I don't know about you, but I don't know any other human that has ever spoken words and people just fall down. There was something powerful in the expression of Jesus about the I am. And this is so important for us to know, because every Jewish person understood that expression, I am. And even though there were some Roman soldiers, they felt the power of the expression. The first time we see that expression is found in Exodus. Moses goes before God, and God says, "Hey, Moses, I have a plan for you." Remember about following God's plan. And Moses says, finally, Moses gives in and says, "I'll do it," even though he had so many problems, so many issues. He couldn't speak. He had a warrant for his arrest in Egypt. I mean, the guy had a list of things, and God said, "Forget all those things." And Moses said, "Fine, I'll go. But if I go, who's sending me? I have no idea who's sending me." And the Bible records in Exodus that God said, "Tell them, Pharaoh, that I am sent you." I am sure Moses says, "That's not a name. That's not a job description. What is this?" But it was powerful enough. It encompassed such a powerful expression that all he had to say was, "Tell them that I am sent you." And this is the expression that Jesus is using to them and saying, "I am." This is why a lot of people fight on the equality of Jesus and God. This moment, Jesus is literally revealing himself as God. And it is so powerful to understand this. And we're not going to know the theology of all that stuff right now, but it is so important for us in sin, because then we'll miss it. We'll miss it. There's a story I read, just to get you an idea, of a guy named Yusuf Dykic. And if you see the image, he's very popular. And he's a popular shooter from the Olympics. He is from the country of Turkey, and he won the silver medal and became an instant meme. Because every other competitor showed up with, like, special glasses. They have aiming glasses, glasses that cover the reflection of the light so you can aim better. And this guy shows up, one hand in his pocket, some Walmart glasses, and just aims and hits the center. And everybody went nuts. Like, what is happening right now? He was just amazing. He won the silver medal in shooting just like that. One hand in his pocket, some regular glasses, and he was just aiming at the target. And it went global. This guy went global. And there's an expression that the young people use today. And the expression is, "He's him. He's him." And that expression that a lot of young people use today about when you say, "Hey, he's him," it's an expression that they're saying, this person is the best at what they do. He is the ultimate. And for you to get it in your head, God is saying, "I am," means saying, "I am the ultimate of anything you can think of." Absolutely encompass everything. Isn't that amazing? Here's a few, not all of them. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the bread of life. I am the water of life. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am all in all. All in all. And it is that authority that has to determine the direction of our lives. It is that idea that has to say, you know what? I am has to be present in everything I do. So here's how you ask it. Have you ever sat down and asked God, God, should I buy this house? How about this? God, should I buy this car? Is this a car for me? Not just for my desire. Is that what you want for me? God, should I marry this person? Is this the relationship you have for me? See, when we invite the authority of God, the I am in everything, then the conversation changes. Because we're saying, you're absolutely in charge of everything. God, is this a school for my children? Is this a health regimen for my family? I'm saying, I am. You're everything. So tell me, lead me. What's your plan? You're the ultimate authority in this house and in my life. And it changes the approach in every way. See, because once I let God be the authority, then I can recognize God's plan for my life. All of a sudden, the plan becomes clear. When I recognize God's plan for my life, then I can walk in it. I can see it. I can navigate in it. I can be free in it because I'm saying, God, I see it. I see how you're working in my life. I see how you're operating in my life. And it's such a beautiful thing. Recognizing the plan of God for your life is what brings you freedom because now you know the purpose. As a matter of fact, Jesus was so clear. He said, you know, the Spirit of God is upon me. And he goes and lists the calling of God for his life. He was so clear in the message of God for his life. And it is important for us to see that and to recognize the plan of God in every area of our life. When we go to him and when we're saying, hey, God, I need you to guide me, then all of a sudden it'll become clear. And I love this about Jesus because in verse 7 and 8, Jesus makes it so clear. It's so clear because for me, when I read this, and again, we've read the Bible all our lives, but when the Spirit of God highlights something for you, it's such an amazing thing. I want you to read it together. Look at this. Verse 7 says, then he asked them again, who are you seeking? And they say, Jesus of Nazareth. Verse 8, then he answered, I have told you that I am he. I'm the ultimate authority. Now watch this. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way. Verse 9, that saying, I love how John explains it, that the same might be fulfilled which he spoke. Of those who you gave me, I have lost none. Jesus was so trusting of God's plan that in a moment when he knew he was going to be arrested, instead of looking out for himself, he was looking out for the disciples. Instead of saying, I got to find a way to protect myself, I got to find a way to cover myself, I got to find a way to escape the situation, Jesus says, if you're looking for me, go ahead and take me. Don't hurt them. Because he had a promise from the Father, watch this, that none will be lost except the son of perdition, which it was Judas. My friend, it doesn't matter how tight the situation it is. If you trust God for protection, you have to trust God for direction. And this is crucial. This is what Jesus is doing. Jesus says, I trust my Father for protection. So the direction is we're going to continue the plan the way we planned it, the way we thought about it, the way it's for our lives. And that goes for all of us. I don't know what the plan of God for you is, but if you have set yourself to do the will of God in any way, then you got to trust him for direction. I had to trust him when I moved from another state to come here to California with a promise of a job. But I wasn't sure we're working through things. I trusted God, and many others have done that. And not just me, many others have done that. At some point in their life, they said, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to go this. I'm going to take this adventure in a certain way. And I've shared with you, when I've done the plan my way, it's so important to know and to do it God's way. I shared with you a long time ago, I decided to switch companies when I lived in Nevada because one company was paying better than another, and I really needed more money at the time. That was the reality because I had a wife, I had a newborn, and so I was like, man, I got to get a different job. This job is not paying me enough. So I did what most normal people would do. I started looking for a job, and I took the job that offered me more money. The one thing I didn't do is I didn't ask the I am what his plan was. And that was, my friend, the worst job I've ever had in my life. It was so bad, the owner ended up going to jail. That just gives you an idea of what went down. I was like, I think I lasted 3 months, and I was like, God, I am so sorry. Tell me where to go back. And he said, tuck your tail and go ask your job back. I was like, I'm going back to my boss. And they did. They gave me the raise, and they gave me the job again. So it worked out nice. But it was just a lesson learned profoundly. My wife and I have learned from that lesson. We say, we're not doing that again. If it's a job, if it's a car, if it's a house, if it's something, we're going to recognize God's plan and we're going to submit it to him. Because in the end, we're saying, God, if I can trust you for salvation, for my eternal soul, why would I not trust you that you're going to help me get stuff on this earth that's going to burn up? Why would I not trust you? And I think that's the hardest thing of recognizing God's plan is first we got to see his authority of our life, and then the plan becomes clear into my life. Are you with me today? So why would he not care? Why would he not care for you? Because what happens? It is not the sparing of difficulties for our lives. It is the strength in the difficulty that God wants to bring to us. And it is so important. It is so important. Give God a praise if he spoke to you. It is not the sparing of the difficulties, but it is the strength in the difficult times. And we ought to know that, because I think a lot of times we only want the comfort of good times. We all do, including me. But what I really want is God's strength when it gets hard, when it gets difficult. And it's so important. Let me tell you a few things. Are you dealing with an addiction tonight? I want to tell you something. Keep trying and keep obeying. He's not done with you yet. He's not done with you yet. How about this? Are you dealing with a restoration or waiting for the restoration of our relationship? Then keep praying and believing. God is not done with you yet. How about this? Is there a business in your heart that you thought about and hasn't come to fruition? Keep praying and believing. God is not done with you yet. And I think for a lot of us, we tend to kind of hand it over because we feel defeated in the process. And let me tell you, I completely understand. You know, when I was younger, you know, 25 years ago or whatever, I'm 50 now, you always feel like there's more to risk because there's more life. But right now, according to data, I have less life to live than what I've lived. And it changes your perspective. But when we're in God, that perspective never changes. This is the time to risk it all for him. This is the time to say, God, I don't know when I'm gone, but before I'm gone, I'm doing a lot more. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to invest it. I'm going to do it. Because you're not done with me yet. Philippians is a famous verse. We'll read it together. Philippians 1:6 says this in the New Living Translation. And I am certain, I love that word, I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished. When? On the day when Christ Jesus returns. Man. In other words, until you die or he comes, we're going to be at work in the plan of God in one way or another. And so I'm inviting you tonight to trust him, to say, God, I'm gonna launch myself into what you have for me. And a lot of times the fear is what holds us back. But I want you to know you have to trust his plan, because that is the ultimate way that we show we're children of God, when we're fully trusting in him. And I know we've heard the famous example of, right, the kid who comes to the edge and says, Dad, would you catch me? And then jumps without waiting for Dad. And so the kid is in the air, but he's so trusting Dad that he knows Dad somehow is going to catch him. And it is so important for us to have that type of trust in his plan. Not in foolishness, because I think a lot of times we do some foolish things. Right? We go and take some crazy loan and then say, God, help me pay for it. Did I tell you to take that loan? I think I'm stepping on some toes. Let me move on from that topic. Whatever it is, right? We just kind of jump in this thing without knowing. Is it part of your plan? How about I find that was part of your plan and then I just dive myself into it? Because something happened when I trust this plan. And that's what Jesus did. And Jesus gives us such a profound example of this process. When I trust his plan. And many of us falter at this. And the reason is because we don't deposit enough confidence in God to do what he says he's going to do. And that's the reality. And when we start reading what's about to happen here with Jesus, it's such an important situation. Jesus is so profound in what he does here. And it's such a famous situation that it could become cliche. And what you're going to find is Jesus and Peter get into a conversation, and the Gospels say it in a different way. In one Gospel, I believe, Peter asked Jesus, hey, should we grab our swords and defend ourselves? And so he's trying to create the situation to not allow Jesus to go and fulfill the will of the Father. Now, understand, poor Peter. I love Peter because I think Peter is more human than the rest of the disciples in some ways because he's more relatable to us. That is the one guy who had the most deepest theological revelation ever, and in the same same expression did the worst thing. They called him Satan. I mean, that's some streams right there, right? The guy was like all over the place. Here's a guy who tells Jesus, hey, I'm going to be with you. I'm your ride or die. And Jesus says, nah, you won't. You're going to deny me three times. Peter's like, nah, you don't know. I'm it, Jesus. He's like, no, you're not. Nah, I know. Right, so Peter finds himself in the situation. The soldiers are coming. And it talks about that Peter attacks the soldier, cuts his ear. Some people say he was going for the full head, but the guy ducks, so just kind of sliced it there. Jesus heals Malchus and then gives an expression that's so profound. Let's read together. John 18, 10 and 11 says, and Simon Peter, having a sore, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Verse 11, so then Jesus said to Peter, put your sword in the sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me? This lesson is so intense. Let me just tell you what Jesus told Peter. Hey, Peter, you can either do life your way, the sword, or you can do life my way, the cup. See, every day when we wake up, we have the same challenges. When we wake up and someone is disrespectful to us and the next day, we can either take the sword or we can drink of the cup. When your children don't behave the way you want, and so you want to just do things in a certain way, you can either do it by the sword or you can do it by the cup. And the cup of suffering is more difficult, but it is actually God's plan for your life. Your wife or spouse is disrespectful, things are not working. I can solve the issue by the sword because you have authority. But God is saying, how about I trust this plan and I drink from the cup? And this is the invitation for all of us tonight. This is where following God's plan comes down to that. I can figure it out my way like I did, and I just go and tell the guy, hey, I want more money, and if you don't give me more money, I'm going to go find this job, which you are absolutely in your right to do. Please don't stop asking for a raise if you believe that's the right thing for you to do. But we sometimes pursue the sore instead of saying, God, can I drink the cup of suffering, and you show me how do I get that? Because he knows you need it. He knows you need it. He knows every need, the Word of God says. So I can do it this way, or I can do it God's way. And this is the profound lesson he's teaching Peter, and he's telling us today. Hey, my child, you have two ways of doing this. I can either be vengeful against my husband who divorced me and left me over here, whatever, or I can drink the cup and just let God guide my children, guide my family, maybe bring you a new relationship that's going to be godly and a blessing to you. I can be frustrated in a business. Hey, pastor, they stole money. They did this. I can, sue them to no end and frustrate myself and don't sleep. Or I can drink a cup of suffering and say, Jesus, you see the injustice. I need you to intervene in my life. This is really God's plan for our lives. And Jesus is the best example of that. When it mattered, he stopped and told Peter, Peter, you have options. My suggestion, put the sword away and drink the cup. Because in the end, God's plan is revealed through Jesus and for you and me in this particular way. 2 Timothy 1:9, and I'll end with this. For God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserve it, but because that was his plan from before the beginning of time, to show us his grace through Christ Jesus. That God from heaven will say, hey, I've called you to do something. I've called you to live a holy life. And I did that way back there because I was about to reveal the grace that I have for you in my son Jesus. And if anything we remember in Easter and this week and Palm and leading up to his death and resurrection is the fact that the God of heaven was so faithful, so good, so wonderful, that by his grace, by his goodness, by his strength, he He sends his son and said, hey, I'm going to show you how to follow my plan through my son. It's so good. It might be hard at times, but it's so good. Here's why, child. Because I've planned it before the time began. For your life and for my life. But we have to submit to his authority. We have to acknowledge this is a plan for my life. And we're going to have to trust him and dive ourselves into every situation. I don't know what situation you're going through right now. I don't know what is the plan of God for your life. But I'm telling you tonight that he's inviting us to say, hey, child, would you trust me? Would you take a leap of faith with me? And would you take the cup and put the sword away? Would you stop doing life your way, your decision? You think better. You live in a great country. Things are good for you. But I'm here to tell you that the cup is from another kingdom. It's from a kingdom that is superior to this kingdom. It's from the kingdom that's above and not beneath. It's from the kingdom and from another world. And it's best for you and me. Can we pray together? Why were you at just some, Lord? I need your direction for my life. I want to trust your plan. Maybe you've made some moves and decisions. You're like, oh, pastor, I don't know if I did that on my own. Am I not in the will of the Father? Maybe God can show you, speak to you, lead you in a certain way. About this, maybe you know and you feel God's plan for your life, but you've been afraid to take the leap, to trust him, and head in that direction. Maybe you can't get results because you've been using the sword for too long. And fight and fight and fight and fight. And God's saying, no, partake of the cup. Let me show you. Let him speak to you. I'll give you a few moments. Father God, thank you for your goodness and for your will. And so today, all of us here in service, watching online or later on, Lord, we want to walk in your plan. And we're confessing that we want to trust, just like we sang tonight, Lord God, that your goodness is running after us. So we are saying that we're going to trust you because we come to you for protection. So God, we're insisting that we're also going to trust you for direction in every area of our life. Would you awaken once again the desire to follow your plan in every area of our life? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. But before we go, I want to tell you about the plan of God. Maybe you're here and you're feeling, hey, pastor, I'm a Christian, or pastor, I'm just hanging out because, you know, somebody brought me. But I want you to evaluate your spiritual life before we go out those doors. I want you to really evaluate if you are in God's plan. Here's God's plan. The Word of God says that we all are affected by something called sin. And that sin that came into our lives, God created a solution from the beginning of time in his son Jesus. And the question we have to ask is, if I were to die today, would I go to heaven or would I go to hell? Am I in God's plan? And most people, I know it's a conversation nobody wants to have, but I just want you to give me a few minutes of your time to have this conversation. Most people, especially in our Western society, would say they go to heaven. And the idea is they've told us that heaven is for, look at this, heaven is for good people. But nowhere in the Word of God, and there's no verse in the Word of God that says good people on the nature of their goodness enter into heaven. It does not exist. And so a lot of times we have these conceptions in society that we go about, and we miss God's plan because we don't know what he wants. Some people might say, pastor, I'm here at church. I've memorized some verses. Shouldn't that be enough for me to go into heaven? And also, the Word of God talks about this. As a matter of fact, the Word of God records a story that the devil quotes verses to Jesus. And you would think that if he did that, he would disappear or melt. But he doesn't. He tells some verses when he's tempting him. And so, just because you learned some verses when you were a kid or some movie, or you've seen the movies, you're in Holy Week and all that stuff, that does not make you a candidate for heaven. There's one area, and we talked about it. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. There's only one way to have access to heaven. It is through Jesus Christ. And tonight, that's the opportunity I want to give you, because God wants you to have it. And he's created this opportunity in his plan for your salvation and your direction for eternity. And it'll be a waste of your life, and a lot of people do it, if you would say, pastor, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to do that because I think Christians are weird. okay, there might be some weird people that we all encounter in life, but that doesn't make them or the decision wrong, because it's about the condition of the heart. I think we pay attention too much to the exterior of things and don't look at what God is actually doing in our lives. And tonight, by the Spirit of God, according to the Word of God, He is knocking at the door of your heart. And it is your decision tonight to say yes or no. He's saying, hey, I'm putting two options. Remember, the sword or the cup. And the cup, the wonderful cup of the sacrifice of Jesus, He's saying, if you take it, then we enter into salvation. We're going to start walking in a new life beginning today. And in a moment, this is how we do it at our church. I count to three. I clap my hand. And when you hear that, you can raise your hand right where you're sitting. I'll see your hand. You can put it right back down after I see you and acknowledge you so you don't get tired. And then I'm going to invite you to pray here together with us this prayer, inviting Jesus in your heart. Pastor, that sounded wonderful, but there's no way I'm raising my hand. There's no way I'm walking or praying. I'd rather just do something quiet where nobody knows who I am. That would be great. That would be wonderful, but that's not what God is looking for. Jesus didn't die in secret. He didn't go before the will of the Father and say, well, you know, Father, let's figure you and out. No, He died publicly, a horrific death. All He's asking of us is, don't be ashamed of me. If you need me, then acknowledge me. And that's the invitation today. It begins today with a new relationship to walk with Christ from this day forward. Who should raise your hand? If you've never done that, I'm inviting you tonight to do so. How about this? If you're here tonight and you did it one time, but your life did not follow the prayer you did with your mouth, then start again. Start again like we talked about today. How about this one? You know God is speaking to you. If you don't sit in there, that's for me. Put everything in your head aside. Oh, people, am I going to know? Or the person that brought me thinks I'm a Christian. Who cares? Who cares? It is between you and God. And you're saying, Pastor, I need that tonight. I'm going to count to three. You raise your hand and we pray together. Ready? Ready? One, two, and three. Is there anyone right here? God bless you. Good job. God bless you. I see you on the hand. God bless you. I see you there. God bless you. Thank you. Put your hand down. That's about four beautiful hands. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else other than those four hands that I saw? This is your moment. Your moment of salvation. Maybe you're five or six or seven. You're saying, Pastor, that's for me. That's for me. Even if the young ones, make sure you bring them. Come with them. Thank you, Lord. This is your moment of salvation. If you're doubting, don't doubt anymore. Give yourself wholly to God and say, God, I'm going for you. I'm not going to do this my way anymore. I'm putting the sword down and I'm grabbing your cup, your plan for my life. This is your moment. God bless you. Good call. Number five. How beautiful. This is your moment. I know there's a fight in your spirit. There's a fight in your head. I've been there. Many of us have at some point in our life. So tonight, this is your moment of salvation. Is there anyone else? Say, hey, Pastor, that's me. That's me. That's me. If you have any doubts, if you know God's speaking to you, God bless you. I saw it. I see that. God bless you. I see that hand. Six, seven, or something like that. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? Anyone else? 10 more seconds, and then we'll pray together. Anyone else? This is your moment of salvation. Man, so all the non-Christians picked the left side. What's going on here? If you're on the right side, but you know, you have to know. It's my last call. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's give God a praise for those beautiful souls. Here's what we're going to do. In a moment, we're all going to stand. When we all stand, don't leave anything in your seat. Meet me right here. We're going to pray together. Even if you didn't raise your hand, but you know God is speaking to you, when they come, you come. If you came with a friend, friend, bring him. Tell him, hey, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to support you. Let's do this prayer together. Let's stand today and let's welcome them as they come forward, receiving Christ in their hearts. Come on, these are brave souls saying yes to Jesus in every way. Thank you, Lord. Even if you didn't raise your hand, but you know that God is asking you to come forward, this is your moment of salvation. Just let him know, God, I'm going after you. Come with a friend. Make your way. We're going to have people waiting for you who wants to greet you, pray with you, encourage you in every way. God bless you. God bless you. This is your moment. Come on. Even if you didn't raise your hand, but you know God's speaking to you, this is your moment of salvation. Come on up. It's all right. Come on, encourage them. What a wonderful, brave step. This is so great. Good job. Good job, man. Awesome. Good job. So good. Is this your moment of salvation? If you're out there. That's awesome. Hey, listen, all of you guys that are here, a new life begins today. A new life begins. You're making the decision I didn't convince you anything. The Word of God says the Spirit of God is what moved you out here. And I remember making that decision. I was a young man. I was about your age, 12, 13 years old. And I did that, and my life completely changed. I mean, absolutely just, it was a process like we talked tonight, but my life went in a different direction, all because I said yes to an invitation, just like you did tonight. And it begins tonight. There's a process, and we're going to talk about it, but it begins tonight. And in a moment, we're all going to pray, all the church, everybody, and we're going to say a prayer. But it's not a magic prayer. It's not magic words. The Word of God says in the book of Romans that you confess with your mouth, but you believe in your heart, and something new begins that day. You begin to say, God, I'm going to do it your way. That's what you're saying today. I'm repenting of doing life my way, and I want to do it your way. Can we pray together? Let's agree together. Repeat after me. Father God, I receive you today as my Lord and Savior, and I ask you to forgive me of my sins, the wrongdoings I've committed against you. But from this day and until eternity, I want to follow you, and I want to follow your plan for my life. Be the Lord. Be the leader of my life from this day forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Come on. Awesome. Good job, man. Good job. Listen, turn this way, Pastor Joel, one of our leaders. He wants to do three things. He's going to give you a book that's going to help you through the process. He's going to offer you a friend in SPT, and then he's going to let you go. So follow him. It takes 5 minutes. You get that information. You come right back out. It'll be right away. Just go with him. It's okay. It just takes 5 minutes. Your family will wait for you. Or the family can follow you over there. They see you, no problem. Come on, give God a praise. Encourage them today. How awesome. Good job. Man, so good. Young people coming to the Lord. That's always so good. Starting early, man. Starting early. If you came late in life, well, I talked to a lot of people that came to Christ late in life and said, Pastor, man, I wish I would have known this stuff early. I made a lot of boneheaded mistakes. But I'm glad they're coming in young and they're saying, I need God now. I need his plan now for my life. Amen. Hey, as you go out tonight, just ask, Lord, I want to follow your plan. You've already heard it. You're already ready to go. Here's one plan. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And that's what we want to do. So when you go out, take some invitation, bring some people, tell them the goodness of God, all right? Let me bless you tonight. Would you raise your hand? Father God, thank you. Thank you for these people, Lord. These are your children. And we bless them today from the top of the head to the bottom of their feet. And they be blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed coming and going, that everything they put their hand to, it will prosper. And we say about the Inland Empire that the Inland Empire shall be saved. God bless you.
Hi, my name is Pastor Joel. Hey, this is my question for you. Now that you've committed to Jesus Christ, how are you going to grow? We at The Rock want to help you out. We have an online resource called Welcome to Your Destiny. It is your next step to grow. Our mission here at The Rock is to help you grow into Jesus Christ. The Bible says to grow into all aspects of Him. As you read this little book, it's going to tell you what to do and how to do it. We encourage you, if you're ever in the area, please plug into one of our services and connect with one of our SPTs. We call them spiritual personal trainers to help you grow, to plug into this new family that you're now a part of. Our goal and God's goal is to see you fit, healthy, and mature in Jesus Christ. So welcome to the family of God, and God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.